Eternal King of Glory, we thank you for another opportunity to be in your presence here this morning. Lord, the only reason we are gathered here is because we know that you are able to bless us and that you are able to turn our situation and circumstances around. As we hear your word this morning, may it be a blessing to us in Jesus' name. Lord, I believe you are sending your word forth this morning to do specific things in our lives. And the purpose for which you are sending forth your word this morning may be accomplished in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. We are looking at meekness. Meekness. That is what we are looking at today. Can we quickly open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 26? Matthew 26. We are going to read from verse 47 to 54. Matthew 26, 47 to 54. We are looking at meekness. Matthew 26, 47 to 54. Is anyone there yet? Okay, I'll read it myself. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, and struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Praise the Lord. I want to believe that we are all quite familiar with this particular passage. In fact, it's the reason we are Christians today. Praise the Lord. But before we delve into it, let's quickly just let's look at the memory verse, which is taken from Psalm 25, verse 9. Can we go together? Psalm 25, verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the milk will he teach his way. Can we go again? Psalm 25, verse 9. The milk will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Praise the Lord. You see, when I was preparing for this study, I went and had a look at one or two things in preparing. One, because we talk about the meek a lot. We read about it in the Bible. And it's such a common word. Until you actually attempt to define it. Until you actually try to put meaning, you try to say it out and give meaning to it. And talk about what meekness is actually is. And in my search for materials on this, I find out that I'm not the only one who has the difficulties, you know, in defining meekness. It is one of those virtues. I mean, if you look at Galatians 5:22, is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Actually, 5:23 is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And it is one of those virtues that Jesus himself talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. So God places so much premium on meekness. It's one of those things that God expects of us as his children. Now, if you look at it, if you look at the word meekness and try to look at, let's look at the definition. What is meekness? So I went into the dictionary and look at what it means. The first set you can see are the positive, patient, long-suffering, submissive, humble. But the second set, spineless, spiritless, compliant. Now, let's quickly look at some other meanings. Looking at some other meanings that have been, words that have been used interchangeably with it, with the word meekness. Or what you call synonyms. They will include things like tame, timid, mild, bland, unambitious, retiring, weak, docile, acquiescent, repressed, suppressed, spiritless, broken, and wimpish. Now, if we look at all these words, the synonyms of meekness, which is what the world will look at meekness to mean, we'll find out that none of it actually depicts what the life of a Christian should be. Particularly in the life, I mean, in the present world where people, you know, aggression, determination, goal setting, and pursuit of, you know, getting your goal is the way we live. So what Jesus is actually teaching us when we look at it, it's directly opposite what the world is teaching us. Yet, one of the big questions we'll be asking ourselves is, God has raised mighty men and women for himself in the past. Do they all have this attribute? And how did they succeed in the things that God wanted them to do? David was a big-time warrior. Was he meek? Was he meek? Was he meek? Praise the Lord. You know, when I was thinking about them, I was just, one of the things that came to my mind was the fact that David, when Saul, you know, when he had the opportunity to take the life of Saul, he didn't take it. To me, that is meekness. When Absalom plotted against him, and Absalom died, what happened? He actually mourned him. He mourned him seriously, you know? So that is meekness. So you see, everyone that God will use, that's the point I want to make. Everyone that God will use must have this attribute. And so if we look at it, Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 shows us that meekness is associated with restraint. In fact, for us to have come to Christ, it takes some degree of brokenness. Is that not so? It is when we come to a point in our lives that we know that we don't have a solution, that someone else has a solution, and that God is the solution, that we can come to Christ. So someone who has not got that attribute cannot and will find it difficult to come to God. So it's another fruit, like I said, that a Christian should bear, meekness. So how do we know? What will be the evidence of meekness? What will be the evidence of meekness? It's not just in quietness. Is it just in quietness? No. It's something that has to come from the heart. Because it is possible to talk nicely and be quiet and not necessarily be meek. So it has to be something that springs forth from the heart. Let's look at an example. Did any of us notice something in the passage we read, in the text we read? If you look at Matthew 26 that we read, verse 49. That was Judas speaking there. He says, "And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him." Was that meekness? Even though he called Jesus Master, but it was not meekness. So that's why I'm saying it has to be something from the heart. You know, on the surface, he worshipped him, call him Master, but in the heart, he did not worship him. He actually betrayed him. But what did Jesus do in response? So meekness is something, like I said, that should come from the heart, and then it is seen in behavior. So it becomes a tool for instruction. When it comes from our hearts and manifests in our behavior, it then becomes a tool for instruction. Can we look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25? Yeah. It's often very much confused with weakness. Yeah. Praise the Lord. It says, in humility, instructing, correcting those who are in opposition. So that, and we see it commonly these days. If you see a lot of people who have been to church before, who are no longer going, or who have been a Christian before, who are no longer going, if you ask many of them, what they will tell you is offense that they have taken as a result of what people have said to them, the way people have approached them. Am I right? A big chunk of people will tell you, it was because somebody said this to me, somebody did this to me. Having said that, look, I'm well aware that how somebody interprets something may not be within your making. Because how things are interpreted will depend a whole lot on the state of the mind of the individual at the time. So you may not necessarily have power over that. But we do have a role to present things, you know, as meekly as we can. So it should be a tool for instruction. And you also agree with me that it becomes an area of fine balancing act for a leader between maintaining that posture of meekness and instructing meekness and firmness. So, one will have to make a good judgment as to when to come to a point when you start to become firm. You know? It's always a difficult area. Praise the Lord. Meekness positions one for salvation. Psalm 149, verse 4. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Okay. Humble is used in place of meekness. King James Version says, "You beautify the meek with salvation." So that's why I'm saying, for us to have come to Christ, if you are not meek, if you think you are in charge of your own destiny, it is difficult for God to work with somebody like that. Unfortunately, what we do have is that we as Christians, we want to eat our cake and have it. We want to be in charge of our own destiny. And at the same time, want God to be in control. It's a bit difficult. We want God to show up only when we need him. And to shut up when we think we know how. If God is going to deliver us and take charge and be in control, then we have to be meek. I'm looking at salvation in a more global form. You know, not just the saving of our soul, even in many circumstances. You know, when we lay it to the Lord, when we give it, it's a sign of meekness when we're able to cast all our burdens on him and ask him to take control and yield to him. And the Bible says that he will beautify us with what? With salvation, with deliverance. He will deliver. We were reading Isaiah 31 yesterday, and he said he will not only deliver, he will preserve. You know, he will defend, he will deliver, defend, and preserve. Also, meekness positions us for instruction and guidance from the Lord. That is our memory verse. Psalm 25, verse 9. It positions us for instruction and guidance from the Lord. Remember that Paul knew this. And that was why when he was writing to Timothy, he said, for everyone who is going to become a minister in the church, a bishop, a deacon, or whatever, he said they must have what? One of this thing, a teachable spirit. The one that is not meek cannot be instructed by God. Somebody who wants to have things their own way. It's difficult for God, you know, to instruct, to pass instruction and guide such a person. Because even while he speaks, it will be difficult for us to hear. We're going to be beclouded by our own emotional state and the things we have already preconceived and the way we want things to go. So if you want to position yourself for instruction from the Lord, it has to be from the position of meekness. And it's a substitute for aggression. As far as Christians are concerned. But I want to tell you that, like I said earlier on, you agree with me that what the world is teaching us is completely against meekness. In fact, meekness is seen as stupidity, as not knowing what you want in life, as not being ambitious, as not being a goal getter. Can we quickly look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9? Praise the Lord. He said, do not hasten to be angry. And I think I remember we shared here before, was it Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16? And it says, a fool shows his anger immediately. He said, but the wise does what? Ignores insult. So the wise will be meek and will ignore insult. Proverbs 22, verse 24 to 25. Praise the Lord. So he's saying that we have to even be careful in terms of friendship with somebody who is not meek, because that's the opposite of being of meekness, anger and aggression. And of course, it takes meekness to be able to forgive. It takes meekness. And I'm telling you, because one of the major things that makes it difficult for one to forgive is pride. When we look at what it means to us, our own personal meanings sometimes gets in the way. It really makes it very difficult for us to, you know, to forgive. So it takes meekness to forgive. And of course, meekness is profitable. We've already discussed some of the profits. Jesus himself said so. The meek will do what? They will inherit the earth. Praise the Lord. The meek will inherit the earth. When look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. And the meek position themselves to be satisfied by God. Not only will God satisfy them with salvation, the Lord will position himself to meet their needs. Let's look at Psalm 22, verse 26. Okay. Amen. If we look at King James Version, Psalm 22, verse 26. Is that not new? I think that is new King James Version. Praise the Lord. I was looking for the word meek there. So, yes, God positioned himself to make provisions for the meek. Of course, we've talked about divine guardians. And of course, the meek position themselves for help from God. Because if you already know how, you don't need God's help anymore, do you? So, but let me just quickly clarify something. Meekness is not from a position of weakness. It may not necessarily be because you don't know how. You do. But there is self-restraint and allowing God to take control. Maybe I better put it properly. So Psalm 147, verse 6. Praise the Lord. So the Lord will do what? Will lift up the meek. He will lift up the meek and he will cast the wicked to the ground. I pray that God will help us to meet the mark in the mighty name of Jesus. It's only in meekness that we can be a source of help to others. Do you agree with me? It's only in meekness that we can be a source of blessing to others. Let's look at Galatians 6:1. If we are not meek, I'm telling you, a lot of things will happen that will discourage us. And when our individual being comes into, I think we were having a discussion, was it the other time when you came, and I was telling you that, you see, I want to make sure that myself does not get in the way. Otherwise, it makes it very difficult to make a distinction, you know, and we'll run in error and we'll not be able to do what we are supposed to do when self gets in the way. So therefore, it's only when we are meek. He said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So, in other words, for you to be able to restore somebody and be a source of blessing to them, you know, for you to be able to get the word across to somebody, for you to be able to speak the right word at the right time, it requires meekness. It requires meekness. And the other thing that meekness does is that it's the one that allows us to pass the school of patience. Is the one that allows us to learn what God wants us to learn. Remember in James, when he tells us to rejoice when we face diverse temptations, because the trial of our faith does what? Worketh patience. So we must be ready to bear in humility, just like Jesus bore in humility, you know, his betrayer, even his death. You must be ready to bear in humility. Let's look at Genesis chapter 13, verse 8. It takes meekness to want to avoid strife. Genesis 13, 8. It takes meekness to want to avoid strife by all means. So, Abraham said to Lot, let there be no strife between you and me. You know? And what did he do? He said, look, take your own portion. If that is what will make you feel good, please take your own portion, let go our separate ways. Sometimes it may be that's what is going to cost us, you know, to remove ourselves from certain situations in order not to get into strife. Let's also look at Genesis chapter 26, verse 20 to 22. Genesis 26, 20 to 22. And the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. And he named the well Esek, that is contention, because they quarreled with him. Then his servants dug another well, and they quarreled over that also. So he named it Sitna, that is enmity. And he moved away from there and dug another well. And for that one, they did not quarrel. He named it Rehoboth, that is room, saying, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And my prayer for every one of us here this morning is that you will get to your Rehoboth in the mighty name of Jesus. That the Lord will make a room for you, you know, beyond contention. In conclusion, anger, an unforgiving attitude, lying and the likes can rob you of God's presence. Therefore, pray that you will not be a victim of internal weakness. So it's a personal thing that we need to work on. Meekness. It's the opposite of what the world is teaching. Just like when we look at almost the whole of the beatitude, you find out that it's almost the opposite of what the world is teaching. Any questions, comments before we pray? Yes. In fact, there's a third word that comes into the fray, and that's gentleness, that tend to be used interchangeably, meekness, gentleness, and humility. So can people in the house try? What's the distinction? That's what I'm trying to do now. Because it's actually taken from the word anaph. Yes.
So you would have said, okay, you, this is where I'm giving you. This is my own territory. And I have given you that. You know, but Abraham didn't do that. He said, you take anyone, anything you like, you take it, whatever is left, you know, I will give it to you. So when I will take for myself. But I don't know, my own understanding of meekness is you have that authority. You know, when Miriam, you know, she said, are you the only one that God is talking to? You didn't see anything, you know? You didn't see anything. Unlike, you know, Elisha, that, you know, they said something to her, you know, you caused the children. Peter, that, you know, took a sword and cut the hair of the servant.
I don't think it can be clearly delineated. I think both of them will vary into each other. There's no way you talk about meekness without humility. Sorry? Exactly. We have submission as well. Exactly. I don't think you can talk about one without the other. It would be difficult to tease it out. Yeah. And in the case of Abraham that we talked about, I mean, the same Abraham was the one who fought for Lot to get his things back. I just pray that God will teach us, you know, to balance it. You know, that was what I was saying, the balance between firmness and when to show restraint. And the same Jesus was the one who went to the temple when people were buying and selling, and he scourged them. You know, he didn't just say, get out of there. He also scourged them, you know. So it's a question of allowing the Spirit of God to direct us. But it should be a pervading thing for any leader. It's not just only when people are in leadership position. In every situation we find ourselves, I think meekness is something that should... And if you look at the story of Abraham, what actually happened was that Abraham was the one who said, look, I don't want strife. This is what I want to happen. If Lot had said to him, look, I want to take the land or something, we don't know how Abraham would have reacted to that. But it came out of his mind to prevent strife and say, look, let's, yeah, take some. Yeah. Exactly. He chose the what looked like the better part. Exactly. He could have chosen that. He didn't want that. Yeah, he didn't want that. So you saw. So, yeah. Hallelujah. No. Interchangeably. Mm. Yeah, I mean, even in humility, you will still have power. You may have power and still not show the extent of your power. You know, that's humility. Yes. Okay, that's Philippians chapter 2. Yes, he laid down his life himself. He said, nobody took it from me. So it has to be something that one is willing to lay down. It's a different, you know. But do you know that when it was time for Jesus to die, he didn't, you know, he laid down his life. But do you know there was a time before when they wanted to take hold of him? And he left. He did not allow. So it's a matter of timing, you know. It's a matter of timing. If God, you know, yeah, it's a matter of timing in terms of what you would do. You know, I will. Yep. Okay. Yeah, read it. Okay.
This is from one of the dictionaries. It says, meekness is an attitude of humility towards God and gentleness towards people, springing from a recognition that God is in control. That's meekness. Yeah, so it says meekness is an attitude of humility. Humility is a freedom from arrogance that grows out of the recognition that all we have and are comes from God.
Let us pray. It's so vital, you know. It's so important to our walk with God. You know, a lot of times, I want us to pray this prayer. A lot of times when a word comes like this, it's often easy to imagine that it's something that someone else should manifest without necessarily personalizing it. I want us to personalize it this morning and say, Father, just like Jesus, give me the spirit of meekness. Ask that you give me the spirit of meekness because it's one of the fruits of the spirit. Lord, give me the spirit of meekness. Lord, that I will be meek and I will come in total submission to you and allow you to guide me and allow you to lead me. Because I know without being meek, I'm likely to follow my own way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As you take control and instruct and make my heart a fertile ground for your direction and your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the word meekness. Lord, may we yield, may we reap the profit of meekness in Jesus' name. Everything that needs to die, that we allow this word to be true in our lives, Father, we ask that they die in Jesus' name. Everything that needs to come alive, that we allow this word to have its place in our lives, Lord Jesus, let them come alive in Jesus' name. Have your way through and through. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Mika.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can we all be on our feet as we pray this morning? It's not by our power, it's not by our might that we're here this morning. This is the last Sunday of the year, 20th of December 2008. The next Sunday we're here will be a new year. Let's pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Our Father and our God, we want to thank and bless your holy name. We want to thank you for bringing us this far in our journey with you. Father, it's the last Sunday of the year. Father, I want to pray that even we are going to experience many more Sundays like this in Jesus' name. Father, your Son died for us. Father, we want to pray that even as we human beings with flesh, that we would come to appreciate this death that Jesus Christ died for us. That we will be people that would lift your word up, O Lord. Father, I want to pray that as we begin to spread your word to men in this world, that they will accept from you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
It's not by our wisdom, it's not by our might. Father, it's by your word, O Lord. Father, I want to pray that as we sing praises and worship unto you this morning, that our lives will never remain the same.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Your name is higher than any other name. Your name is Jesus. Your name is Lord. Your name is higher than any other name. Your name is Jesus. Your name is Lord. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow down. All tongue